By the way, I think when Joe was mentioning about the app, there is on the back page the QR code. You just have to scan it, and it'll pop up, and you can link you right over to the church app. Many of you have downloaded that already to your phones. By the way, if you have downloaded it, not every one of you, though, has allowed notifications. It's good to allow the notifications. This way, if something comes up and we send out a blast, you'll get the notification. Because if you don't get the notification, then you have to actually look at the app to see if something's happening. But if you allow the notifications, you'll get the little ding. And don't think, oh, I'm going to get ding five times a day. No, we send them out maybe once a week, you know, with special events. So you're not going to get bombarded by notifications, believe me, okay? So it's a good little tool that we have that we can use to communicate with one another. Because communication is important. Lunch and Scriptures are coming up again in October. You'll be hearing all of this. We have a great time. We'll be in the New Testament at that point. Can you believe it? How many still reading? All right. Oh, this side's got that side beat. Come on, guys. This side got you beat. Keep on reading. We're in the stretch run right now, right? We're getting to the New Testament. Amen. And when we do the Lunch and Scriptures, it'll be that transition from the old into the new. So it's a good time together. We'll have a little food, fellowship, and more importantly, a discussion in God's holy word, right? That's a beautiful thing. So we want to leave plenty of time for the table today. So let's just, the kids going down today? Or are they staying up? Is she going down? Hi, Samantha. She's looking at me like, what's he doing up there? Yeah, she's unusually quiet. Father, bless your word now to our hearts. It is good that we're together. It's better that you're here with us. And now as we open your word, let it speak to our hearts as only it can. Use these lips to speak what you would have them to say. Give us all ears to hear, hearts to receive, and let our minds and wills have a decision to allow the word to be lived out in our life. So we love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So as the kids head on downstairs, those that are here today, you know, I don't have to remind everybody. You guys may have talked about it in worship. I don't know about all the shooting this week of Charlie Kirk and all the aftermath of that. And as tragic as a event that is, you know, many of us have responded in different ways and are praying for those that are left behind and continue to do so. But it's interesting, when I say the word interesting, it's probably one of the most, the best way to say it is I've had to more than likely respond to this event more than anything I have in recent memory. COVID dominated so much. It was over a long period of time. I had to respond to COVID for a lot, but that was over a long period of time. And then going back to maybe September 11th was the last time I got so many requests for let's talk about this or what's going on or what's happening. And if you notice this week, the events actually pushed 9/11 off the news cycle. I mean, they covered it a little bit, but it kind of pushed it away because it was all glossed over by what happened in Utah. And again, a tragic thing. But it really comes down to our response and our understanding to this. And I want to start by saying that it's very crucial that we as the church understand something that we talk a lot about, but we really, I think, don't fully get it. And the fact is that we are always fighting spiritual battles. We are. They're always there. And there's no way to get around it or get out of it. The spiritual battles are very, very real. And our awareness of that it is always there, is important. We have to understand that spiritual battles are everywhere. But not only to be aware of it, but to recognize that we have to be vigilant in the way that we fight or react to the spiritual warfare. We have to be prepared. We have to have courage. We have to have and use the right weapons. It's all important things that we as Christians need to do, but we need to recognize that we are always fighting spiritual battles, whether we realize it or not. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and you can have your Bibles out, which are always great. I love you having your Bibles out. If you have a device, as long as it's on silent, take your device out. If not, you can look up on the screen behind me. But 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm going to be reading from a little different translation than what's on the screen, I believe. It says this, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses or strongholds. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." See, our warfare is spiritual. Now, I will remind us that the spiritual warfare that is all around us, that we're always should be engaging in, does manifest itself in the flesh. We don't usually, in fact, probably never, will we see the spiritual fights in that spiritual realm with our eyes. We're not going to be usually shown that. We see it as it manifests itself in the flesh. See, that's what Paul said, "For though we walk in the flesh," he said, we're in the flesh, we're in a fleshly world, and whatever spiritual battles are being fought or whatever warfare is being, you know, manifest to us in that spiritual realm, it does show up to us in the fleshly realm. So events that we see with our own human eyes, events that we react to with our own emotions, are events that happen in the flesh, but there is many times a spiritual component behind those events that have orchestrated those events, that have set the situation to be one that those events would take place. And on the spiritual level, our enemy has his own plans, prerogatives, you know, has his own emphases, his own emphasis on different things, his own strongholds, fortresses, his own weapons. And as I said, though we see the manifestation of them in the flesh, his weapons and his prerogatives and his strongholds are spiritual in nature. And any attempt that we try to fight those battles that manifest in the flesh with spirit, with fleshly events ourselves or fleshly ways ourselves, we're going to fail. We're not going to win trying to fight a spiritual battle that manifests in the flesh by attacking it with fleshly things ourselves, fleshly weapons, fleshly reasonings, fleshly emotions, fleshly strengths. We're not going to win. We're not going to win. And what we have to ultimately understand, that with all the weaponry that the enemy has and all the spiritual battles that are going on, the battle that we do see manifested in the flesh, ultimately those battles are really for the minds and hearts of people. That's really what the battle is for. The minds and hearts of people. The souls of people. And the spiritual battle and the spiritual warfare, though it is many times on a wider scale that affects more than just one individual, it all affects us individually. Even when a greater or larger event happens that we, you know, and by the way, the reaction to this event that took place has been taking place, or the reactions by people of all segments. It's been, the reaction's going all across the board. It affected a lot of people, not just, you know, conservatives or liberals or Christians or this. No, it's affected a lot of people. I mean, it's been dominating the news cycle. And though it happened on a mass scale that affected a lot of people, we all respond and react to it, though, personally. So when an event takes place and we all may have common feelings about it, common emotions about it, you might get angry, you might get confused, you might get, you know, sad or grieved, whatever those emotions are that we may all feel commonly together, we all, though, respond uniquely individually. And we all fight both those larger battles and individual spiritual battles on a regular basis. So when the enemy shoots those flaming arrows, we need to be prepared to have them extinguished by the shield of faith. And each individual has to do that for themselves. Jesus told us something. And by the way, you know, learning and understanding spiritual warfare and spiritual battles, ultimately the best place to look is to whom? To Jesus. You know, and I know that sometimes when we bring Jesus up in that way, people say, yeah, but he was God. You know, he could do all things. Well, that's true. But remember, when he came to the earth, though he never stopped being God, he came to the earth as a man. And he walked as a man. He walked in this flesh. He walked in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he gave us an example on how we can also conduct ourselves and fight spiritual battles and live in this world in the flesh, but from a spiritual point of view. He's our example. Now, Jesus fought many spiritual battles while he was on the earth. Right? One of them notably was when he was now going to go to the cross. He went to that garden shortly before he was taken prisoner. He knew what was coming up. He knew it. He understood what he had to face. It was physical in nature from the standpoint of the cross. His body would be broken. The brutality of the cross would be his to face in the physical realm. And I'm sure that prospect itself of going through that physically was something that he was reacting to, knowing it was coming. But his was even greater than that, because not only was he now subject to the physical part of the cross, it was the spiritual component where he, the one who knew no sin, would become sin for us. He would take the sin of all mankind upon himself. Our sin debt would be transferred over onto him. And then he was going to face the penalty, the payment for all that sin upon himself. He reacted to it. In the flesh. In the garden, he sweat great drops of blood. That's how much agony he was in. What did he ask the disciples to do? Just watch with me. Just pray with me. We heard this message a couple weeks ago. Just to watch and pray. Just to watch and pray. Just to be with me. Because he was a human being. As he was fully God. And he wanted them just to be with him. To support him. To help him, because he was going through it. We go through it. Watch and pray. See, according to the verses we read in 2 Corinthians just a moment ago, these spiritual forces in this world, these speculations, if you will, it's a Greek word, logismos, which means ideas, concepts, reasonings, philosophies. It's all the things of this world that the enemy uses to bring people to a place of hearing other messages that are designed to do what? Bring them away from God and salvation through Jesus Christ. That's what they're designed for. That's all they are. These strongholds, these weapons that the enemy uses are all these ideas, these concepts, these philosophies, these reasonings that the people of this world build up. Satan's behind it all, but they build it up to do what? To shield themselves, if you will, from God. And then to shield others from him. You say, why would anybody shield from God? Well, we see through the Bible that that's the heart of man. Man sinned, so man ran from God, hid from God. Psalm 1, Psalm 2, oh God, you know, cast them off asunder. We could do our own thing. Leave us alone. So people utilize these philosophies and these concepts and these ideas to insulate themselves and thereby insulating others, to shield themselves from God. And you know what happens? All those philosophies, all those ideas, all those strongholds, all those fortresses eventually become a tomb. Because if you continue in those philosophies and those ideas that drive you away from the love that is in God through Christ Jesus, you end up separated from him through all eternity. I don't care how lofty the idea is. I don't hear how great it sounds to the human ears. It's a tomb. It's a tomb. Not only a physical tomb, they'll die in the grave, but it'll be a spiritual tomb that they'll be separated from God through all eternity. We are called, according to what 2 Corinthians 10 says, to break down these strongholds, to break down these ideas, to break down these fortresses. It's difficult work. It's dangerous work. But it's not work that we have to do in our own flesh. In fact, I'll say it again, if we try to fight these battles in our own flesh, we will lose. We will lose. So one of the greatest tricks of the enemy is to engage us in these spiritual battles and engage us in a physical way so that we react in the physical. And we react in the physical and we try to fight it physically, humanly. And he just laughs. He just laughs. Because no matter how smart we are, strong we are, bold we are, no matter how we can reason with people, do this, that, or the other thing, whatever, we're going to lose. We're going to lose. So we fight with worldly philosophies, human wit. See, so much of the church today has fallen into that trap of the enemy. Marketing techniques to get people in the seats. Counter philosophies. I have talked to, over the years, many, and I don't want to say it's just an age thing, but it does seem to be more prevalent with those that are younger chronologically, who are pastors who I believe truly do love the Lord and are saved, but are caught up with the way to win the culture is with counter philosophies. And the philosophies themselves are not something that you look at and go, oh, that's a bad thing, because they're based upon the Word of God. But they're human philosophies taken from the precepts and the principles of God's word, and man takes those and they form their own philosophy to counter the work of the enemy. Guess what? You're going to lose. It's not the power of the word of God. It's a philosophy, even if it's a good philosophy. So if we try to fight with counter philosophies, persuasive words of human wisdom, rationalization, organization, entertainment, better lighting, theatrical things, all this kind of smoke and mirrors, we're going to lose every single time. Soundly. Soundly. I love what Paul did when he went to Corinth. He said, I'm not coming to you with persuasive words. I'm coming to you knowing Jesus Christ and him crucified. I'm coming to you with a pure, simple, powerful gospel. That's what you need. That's what he knew would change that city. That's what he knew. So we're not going to win a spiritual war fighting it with physical means. Now you might say, well, ultimately, Pastor Joe, I read the Bible. We win. Yeah, I know. We're going to ultimately win the war, but you'll lose individual battles. And every individual battle we lose is a soul, right? And you know what happens when you start losing a lot of those battles? You don't want to fight anymore. You get beat up enough, right? You lose enough, you know, why bother? I talked to them before 10 times. It's, oh, I'm done. Why bother? We get weary in well-doing. Amen? Because we're fighting in our human strength. See, we have to understand that in a spiritual battle, when we fight God's way, we have a lot of freedom in that. We get to use not only our own words, but we get to use the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. It's powerful. I know. Listen to me. I know. Sometimes when we're dealing with a situation with somebody and we use scripture, sometimes it may come out of our mouths as trite, you know, just a nice little like a saying, a slogan. It's not. It's the powerful word of God. Believe it, use it as the sword. And we have freedom when we fight this way, going God's way, because we have freedom from fear because we're fighting his battles. We're his soldiers in his army. And if we fight in his power using his weapons, using his sword, then we know what we do. We can engage the enemy. And we also have a freedom to do that without guilt. You know why? We're not responsible for the outcome. Though we want the outcome to go a certain way, we're not responsible for that outcome. Once we discharge our duty, it's upon the individual and their dealing with God to accept and to receive and to repent and to change. So we're free from the outcome. Because many times you and I, we want that outcome and we get discouraged because it doesn't happen. So what do? We get weary. I failed. Did you ever do that? I failed. You ever say that? I failed. I failed. I tried. I failed. I wasn't good enough. God send somebody else next time. I didn't. No, you're not responsible for the outcome. You're responsible for the doing, for the fighting of the battle. So that brings us to a place of being free from despair. Because when we realize that we're responsible just to do it his way, the responsibility shifts to him and the person themselves. So we use the word of God. Hebrews chapter 10, listen to this. Let us draw near. This is going to keep us from getting despairing. Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our faith or hope, it says in one translation, the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. He's faithful. Our hope is in him, not ourselves, not our abilities, not our strategies, not our weapons, not even our outcomes. He is faithful. So there's spiritual warfare. Now, we have to be cautioned about a couple things here. Sometimes there's many who, in their zeal, they're fighting and they find demons in every little thing. I spilled water. There's a demon. I told this. And we're not always fighting direct demons that way. They got a lot of stuff going on, and they're not just knocking over your water cups. You know what I mean? Most likely, they have their own strategies. But you have to be careful that not everything is a direct confrontation with a demon, but it is a direct confrontation with the spiritual realm. Sometimes Jesus cast out demons. Sometimes he just healed people because they're sick, because we live in a fallen world. Does that ultimately have a spiritual component to it? Yes, but he's not there casting out a demon of sickness. He's just healing people because they have a disease from a fallen world. Paul wants us and instructs us to wage war against the component of the sin that's in the world itself. He warns us to oppose the schemes of the devil. So things that happen in this world, that happen to people, that come from a spiritual component, he says, no, react to what's behind that. Deal with it in a fleshly manner, but realize there's a spiritual component. Ephesians 6, you know this very well. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his power, his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. He has schemes. He'll take somebody's physical illness that they just contract because we live in a fallen world, and his scheme will be to bring them to despair, to turn away from God, or to not come to him, or to discourage, whatever it happens to be, to take away their peace, their joy. So he has a scheme. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Some real crucial truths there. We have to stand strong in the power of our might, right? Right? I want to stand strong in the power of Charlie's might. I just was told today, Charlie told me that we have 5 Charlies in the church now. We're growing Charlie congregation. We'll stand in the might of Charlie. No. We stand in the power of his might. Speaking the truth. And in the armor of God, all those different components. Do you know the components? Come on, what is there? Belt of truth, shield of faith. Come on. righteousness, right? Sword of the Spirit, gospel of peace, right? Shield of faith, got them all. I think we got them all covered, right? Of all those things, they all hold together with the belt of truth. So that means we need to speak truth. We need to be in the truth. Do you know why we resort to philosophies of our own? Because we're spending more time reading philosophies of other people than we are reading the Word of God. We're reading what this one said and that one said. And we're all guilty of spending more time on our phones and social media and in the television and watching whatever we are about what they're saying about it than we are reading the Word of God. So we come away with our own philosophies. So we need to be in the truth. Joshua was successful because he was able to meditate in the Word day and night and not turn away from it. Don't turn away from it. Just follow it. Day and night, meditate in it and follow it. Do what it says to do, and then you'll be successful. Then you'll be successful. So we stand in the truth. We read the truth. We absorb the truth. We speak the truth. And we have to be people of the truth. That means we have to be consistent with what comes out of our mouths. Because you know what? The world and Satan is quick to show and spot on the hypocrisy. And yes, he's going to use that against us no matter what, but let's not give him a reason to have accuracy in those terms. Be consistent. Be people of the truth so that when we speak the truth, there's no hypocrisy between what we speak and how we live. We need to be people of the truth. So we use the Word of God because we believe the Word of God, because we're living the Word of God. When Jesus was also tempted, we talked about Gethsemane earlier, when he was also tempted before, when he was being tempted, when he was baptized, he was driven into the wilderness, he was fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and he had that great temptation that came to him from Satan. What did he say? It is written. It is written. It is written. But it wasn't just he was using words, just scriptural words. He believed it and he was it. He was it. He is the Word. He was the Word. So when he spoke the Word, it was there. Well, guess what? We should be people of the Word. The Word should be in us, and the Word should be in us in that way that we have that same Word that we now live out. And that's important. Because remember, the name of Jesus and the Word of God is not just some, you know, magical cantations that we use. Oh, just say Jesus. You know, in the Bible, there's guys that tried to cast out a demon just saying Jesus' name. Oh, yeah, Jesus, Jesus, boo, get away. And then they didn't believe you. They didn't know Jesus. They got beat senseless. Because they tried to fight it through the magical name of Jesus. No, they had to be people of Jesus, using his name in faith, because they know him as their Savior and as their Lord. And when they speak then that name, the powerful name that we can use that will bring fear into the enemy, we speak it from the point of faith as his children with the permission to use that name. It is written, he said. It is written. Michael the archangel, he did not have a conversation with Satan when they were disputing about the body of Moses. And they're probably on equal par angel-wise, similar, as far as we get from Scripture. He didn't come at him and say, hey, Satan, let's go at it. Come on. Come on, let's see who's the better man, the better angel. Come on, let's go. Let's go. Let's fight. No. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. He didn't even come at him in his own strength, and neither were we called to come in our own strength. We come in his power. I know I've heard over the years from Christians who were sincerely saying things to me like, well, I've been wrestling with the devil, and I've been talking to him. Don't talk to the devil. You talk to the devil, you're in trouble. You're losing. He's smarter than you, got more power than you. He'll wrap you around his little finger five times over before you can even blink. The Lord rebuke you. Come against him in the Word of God with the power of God. Don't have an argument with Satan. Don't have a discussion with Satan. You already lost. Come against him in God's power. So those strongholds are real. And we have to fight them. And while they are spiritual in nature, as I said earlier, they do manifest themselves in the flesh. And remember, what is one of the greatest examples to me of that is Jericho. We already talked about Joshua. He was already told by God to be in the Word, meditate in it day and night. Don't turn from the right to the left. Just stay in it. Okay, take down that city. Okay, how, God? Walk around it. Oh, I get it, God. We're going to walk around it looking for the defects in the wall so that we can sneak in and get. No, just walk. Oh, God, when we walk, you know, after we walk, you're going to send down this fire, brimstone from heaven. No, just walk. Just walk. See, Jericho was a real city. It's not a spiritual city. It was a real city. It was the first thing when they came over into the promised land that it was right before them. There's that giant Jericho, the big city there. Yeah, just walk around it. And then when you blow the trumpet after you walk around it seven times on the last day, guess what's going to happen? The walls will come down. They did it. The walls came down. That's not an allegory. The walls literally came tumbling down. Physically. But it happened spiritually. Right? It happened spiritually. So I'm going to give you a couple things before we kind of, by the way, I didn't give the message yet. This has been the setup, the prologue. It really has. But I'll give the message in like 3 minutes. Okay, so don't worry about it. We're still going to have Lord's Supper together. But let me give you a couple things before we bring the message part. Ready? Other weapons. Yes, we have the belt of truth, shield of faith, the helmet of faith, the shield, the breastplate of righteousness, all those things, right? The gospel, the sword of the Spirit. We have all those different things. But we also have prayer, praise, and worship. Powerful weapons against the enemy. Prayer, praise, and worship. How many times in the Bible did God use singing and music to bring back the enemy? Physically, but it was a spiritual fight. Were not the doors open for Paul and Silas when they sang and worshiped God and their restraints came off their arms and legs, right? And the gates opened up because they were just singing, praising God. Powerful. And guess what? People got saved, including the jailer. Ooh, Satan lost everywhere on that one. I got Paul now. I'm going to snuff him out. No, Paul got out. Silas came out. People in the jail got saved. The jailer got saved himself. Satan lose. Prayer, praise, and worship. As we use the word of God, as I already said, we have the name of Jesus, but use it in faith, the authority that he's given us to use his name in spiritual warfare, not as some magic word, but as the word, the authority that's in his name as a child of God. And we have the blood of Jesus. I bring up the blood of Jesus because these next two things I want to mention, the blood of Jesus and our testimony, are very important. Because the Bible says that those Christians that will be here during the tribulation time, after the church is gone, they're going to overcome the strategies of the enemy that are both spiritual and physical in nature. Because they're going to be having their very lives, you know, at risk just for being a Christian at that point. I mean, even more than it is today. They're going to believe in Jesus. Many, many, many are going to be martyred during that tribulation time. But it says they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, because ultimately that's how we all overcome. And the word of their testimony. See, we can't overcome anything without the blood of Jesus Christ applied to our lives first, but the blood of Jesus Christ, the gospel message that we speak, that he died for the sins of the world. Then we ourselves know that we all have in ourselves a testimony, a story to tell that nobody can take from us. They can engage you and try to trip you up in all kinds of things and counter philosophies and try to twist the word of God and all these different things, but they can't take away your story. And your story really is his story, right? For what he did for you. Use your testimony. It's powerful. It's a weapon. And the last weapon I'm going to mention is the unity of the body of Christ. And it's a weapon that the enemy loves to take away from us. By causing not only the disunity amongst different denominations and different movements, he does it inside the churches itself. And if you yourself have been a cause of disunity, repent right now. Stop your nonsense, because that's all it is. It's a tactic. You're falling into enemy hands. You're becoming like Peter. Oh, I love the Lord. Jesus, you could do this. And then, you know, he's saying to you, get behind me because you're causing division within the church because of nonsense, stupid stuff. Stupid stuff. Stop it. You're falling right into his hands. Because he loves to cause division. Because when we're together, we are stronger. And he knows that. So he wants to keep us separate. And Jesus told us in his word and in his prayer, even to the Father, he told us that the love we have one for another, and we're commanded to love each other, that love we have one for another, that love is a sign to the world that we are his. And that we were sent by him into this world. And it's powerful, church. So we have the unity of the body of Christ working together to overcome the schemes of the enemy. Okay, now you ready for the message? All right, real quick, let's bring it in. Here it is. Here's the message. Romans chapter 13. And do this, he says, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. The message, the core of this message today is, yes, we have spiritual battles that are all around us, and they are to be engaged and to be fought. But you know what, church? Too many of us have fell asleep. Too many of us have forgotten that the time is at hand. It's now. There's strategies out there now, strongholds that need to come down. There's ones the enemy is beginning to formulate for this week coming up that need to be brought down. The time is now. It's not the time to sit back, not the time to wait. The time is now. For us to do the work, but for those that need to hear it, because they may not be able to hear it on Tuesday if you don't speak to them Monday. Right? The time is at hand. The urgency of the message, the urgency in the message, and the timing of that urgency says now, 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 now. What are we waiting for? Right? What are we waiting for? Spiritually alert, knowing, it says, that the time is now sooner than when we first believed. Knowing that his coming is near. We don't know when that is, but we know we're definitely a lot closer than we were even yesterday. And we know that the closer we get to Jesus' return, the Bible tells us what society is going to look like, and it looks a lot like that right now. So what do we do? Oh, that's the way it's going to happen. Throw up our hands. It's going to be que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. No, engage it. Now, because there are people and souls that need to know. Now is the time. And you know what? We know it, but the Bible says that it gets closer to his return, what the world's going to be like, and we're seeing it definitely right now. But you know what the Bible also tells us? That the closer we get to his return, you know what our tendency is? To go to sleep. To get lukewarm. To get apathetic. Yeah, that's the message for us. When? If not now, when? What was that song that came out like 20 years ago? It's a song I know was on the radio. I don't even know who sang it, but Wake Me Up When September Comes. Remember that song? It was that long time ago. That's like the church. Wake me up when Jesus comes. Just wake me up. Wake me up then. I'll just sit here until he comes. No! Wake up and do the work. Throw off all the filthy living. Throw off all the other junk that's in your life. Throw up all the false arguments that you have compiled, and be ready to engage the culture. Listen to this. Romans, right before that, I read this. This is verse 8 through 10. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. If there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. That's what he's telling us, that the time is at hand. Right after that, he says, the time is at hand. Throw off all the works of darkness, wake up from your slumber. Get out there, love your neighbor, love people with the love of Jesus Christ. And you may say, but I don't want to love because of the things that this world is doing. It doesn't mean we love the world and condone what the world is doing. Remember, people are hanging in the balance. That's the battle for souls of people. Here's the last scripture, and we're going to close, and we're going to have the Lord's Supper. Because you might be saying right now, I don't want to love. I want to get even. I want to get mad. Well, get mad at the enemy, understand who's behind the things we're seeing in this world, but fight it God's way. Listen to what he says in 2 Timothy. If you, church, keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the master to use for every good work. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Again, I say, now listen to this wisdom, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only starts fights. Social media. Talking to people because they react to it. It just starts fights. It just divides more, right? Listen. He says, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, be able to teach, and be patient with difficult people. Now, you know who some of the most difficult people there are that we have to deal with? It's one another first. So practice your difficulties here first so that you can deal with the difficult people in the world. But we have to deal with difficult people with opposing views, opposing ideas that we don't like, but we have to deal with them. Why? You may say why. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Listen to why. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. Do you understand why we have to do it? Because the enemy has had the fortresses and the schemes and the things and the ideas and the philosophies to keep people trapped to do his will, not the will of God. And we, the people of God, should be doing the will of God to go and engage them in love with his power, with his gospel, with the power of the Holy Spirit so that they may be set free and come to the knowledge of the truth and repent and be saved. That's the battle. That's the spiritual battle. And that's the one we must fight now. Now is the time. Father, thank you for this reminder from your word. As we get ready and prepared in our hearts to just not only think about the battles that are before us, but the fact that we are yours, what better way for us to now sit at your table? Because, Lord, whatever we're dealing with inside ourselves, we want to now leave at your feet. We want to say, Lord, change my mind, change my heart, give me your mind. We're supposed to take every thought into captivity of you. Give me your thoughts to think. Give me your mind. Give me your lips so that when I speak your truth, not my own. Father, give me your strength and power that you promised to give me. Allow me to use, Lord, the things you've done in my life as a weapon against the strategies of the devil. Let me worship in spirit and in truth. Let me, Lord, take all the components of what you've given me to fight the spiritual fight. But, Lord, now as we come to your table, we come, Lord, into complete koinonia fellowship with you. Father, before you fought the greatest battle that will ever be fought, both in the physical and, more importantly, the spiritual realm, you sat with your disciples. You sat with them because you had things to tell them. You desired, with great desire, to sit with them at that meal, to show them that you alone are the new covenant. You alone are the way of salvation. You alone are the precious Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. So, Father, as we prepare ourselves to sit at your feet, Lord, I pray that as we sit at your table, we would come prepared. Lord, if there's anything we need to repent of before we come, let us deal with it right now. If there's anyone we need to go, Lord, just say we're sorry to or just make amends, we do that now while we're playing this song. And that, Lord God, we would come to this table pure with hearts ready to do your will and to love you more and love others. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing together. And if you want to let everyone downstairs know that they wanted to come up, the Sunday school kids, just listen to the music as we sing this now. And let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart as we prepare ourselves to sit at this table. Serve ourselves as our brothers are here. So what you can do is, as they're going to play that song one or two more times, you can come out starting with the first few rows, come out to the center, receive your elements, and then go back your way to your seat. Okay, so why don't you guys come on, and if you can't come up, somebody will serve you.
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit. Truly know that thou art mine. I surrender. Surrender all to be my blessed Savior. I surrender
all to Jesus. I surrender
all to Jesus. I surrender.
surrender.
I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
I always love to sing that song this way. Lord, help me to surrender all, or teach me to surrender all, because, Lord, I know that there's still parts and still things that have to be surrendered, but that's a wonderful thought at this point. So whatever you need to surrender to Him, surrender that. I think Patsy was the one who asked the question. We were studying through a series on Thursday Night Bible Study of Authentic Christianity. She said, how about those things that, like, I'm afraid to give up, like I'm afraid to surrender to Jesus? And my response, or one of the responses, was, you know, get to know Him more in His love, because perfect love casts out all fear. Whatever you give to Jesus, He will never bring to your hurt. It will only to bless you, it will only help you. He'll only help you to whatever is removed, to bring something better into your life. So I think that we are all served. I believe so. And if that's true, let's spend some time at His table. When we think about what Jesus did for us, the first thing we think about is the body that was broken. The body that was broken on the cross, brutalized. And the Apostle Paul wrote to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 what he received of the Lord, that he delivered unto the church, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, He took bread. And He gave thanks. And I think we all should give thanks to our Father in heaven right now. Jesus, we thank You for all things. You are worthy of our thanksgiving and praise. Thank You for Your blood. Thank You for Your body. Thank You for Your life given for us. He took that bread, and when He gave thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner, He also took the cup when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as you drink of it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until He comes. Thank you, Jesus. And I always like to remind us that after they had the Lord's Supper, Matthew's gospel tells us that when that was all finished, they sang a song as they walked to Gethsemane. Let's stand together and sing a closing song.
When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is a mountain, you see a mountain move. And as I walk through the shadows, Your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with You. So when I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to You, in every fear I lay at Your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to You. And if You are for me, who can be against me? For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for You. all I see are the ashes. You see the beauty. When all I see is the cross, God, you see the empty tomb. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I'll lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Almighty, almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. And every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Oh God, the battle belongs to you.